Let's go. Booty day.
When
come on, Momo.
In with the round thing in your face, you get. There's a lot of things I will not
here?
Do. I will not do the full verse because then I know you will make that a drop. But I could do every line.
Momo knows this song. This is like her go-to karaoke song, Elsie.
Well, I assumed it was the right field song based upon the story she told us earlier. Is that not true?
Something like that. Yep, okay. Something like that. And I was a freshman, too. That was, like, hard to handle as a freshman. I was like, I didn't know what to do. I wasn't experienced with all that yet.
I'm sorry. I apologize. That was me and my friends. I should have done that to you. We thought it would be funny. That's all.
It was funny. I was just like too young and immature for that. And I was like, oh, they're just yelling things at me all the time.
That's funny. Real quick, before we get to the vultures circling around the Lakers after one game at 877.
Dang, that's quick.
And you can call at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. LZ, you and I during Purgatory were talking about creating home gyms. Because you said you're done with gyms. And I'm with you. I'm done with a gym. Because I'd rather spend the money at my own place, not have to worry about waiting for a machine, right? And just kind of get everything set up for myself. And eventually, those costs will amortize, and I won't I won't have to keep paying for a gym, right? Like, that's kind of my move, too. Like, what inspired you to do that? Was it just simply the pandemic?
It was really the pandemic. I mean, I legitimately miss, there are a couple of things about the gym environment that I miss. First and foremost is the sweet sound of the ball dribbling on the ground that echoes throughout the entire building when the door opens in the basketball court. I love that sound. I absolutely love that sound. It's hard to resist. But the other thing I miss was the clanking of the metal. I miss hearing the plates.
Yep.
And so I had bought a bunch of stuff, Georgia Ramona, that didn't make any noise, but was efficient. You know, I was getting my workout in or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then after watching what was happening at, I believe it was like Georgia, the first day, seeing all those kids out there, I was like, oh, hell, man, this isn't going to end anytime soon. Let me just go ahead and get some equipment and get my workout on, because there's some areas on my chest anyway that I couldn't hit with the bands and stuff like that anyway. So I just said, you know what, I'm just going to make this investment. This is part of my lifestyle anyway. It's, to me, it's like buying a car. It's like, it's not like I'm not going to use it. So that's the reason why.
I just sent you my guy. Okay. And it was John Ireland's guy before he was my guy who did the home gym. I'll send you that too, if you want, George.
But oh,
like,
yeah.
Like mine started when we moved to this house, we were going to try to start a family. And I just knew that in order to make it through pregnancy, you got to work out all the time. But I was worried about, I didn't want to be, I'm like a night owl. I find it hard to get to the gym unless it's like late at night and there's no one else around. And I used to go to 24-hour fitness at midnight. I'm like that girl. I'm like, I can't be doing that when I'm home. I got, I'm pregnant. I got a little toddler going around. Like, I'm not going to go to the gym. Just not. Like, so I just decided we're going to convert one of our rooms into a home gym. And Nevin was always going for runs. So we got an elliptical and a treadmill for our house. Because, and I just like, I, first of all, I would never go to the gym if I didn't have that. But I work out all night now. It's easy. You just walk into your door. You just walk in that room and just hop on the elliptical. It's great.
It's awesome.
I did it. The pandemic also made me think of this too. And really just financially, I thought about it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I go to LA Fitness, right? So I spent, $30 plus then it's my wife another $30.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So we spend $60 or whatever it is a month on the gym, right?
Plus gas,
right? Exactly. Like that stuff does add up to your point, right? So it's like if I spent a couple of grand on a setup in my garage, after 2 years or so, that's it. I'm good. You know what I mean? Like I don't need to do anything else and I can just do it from the comfort of my home. I don't have to get in the car. I don't have to drive anywhere. I don't have to wait for anyone to get off the machine. I can just do it when I want to do it and get my own setup. Like to me that the convenience and the finances made all the sense in the world. So I'm curious.
Oh,
go ahead, LZ. Sorry.
Absolutely. And I don't know how you guys feel, but Momo, to your point, just having the equipment in the house just prompts me to have random workouts. Even if it's just 10 minutes. Like I find myself just doing pull-ups because I walk by.
Yes.
And it's just – and the power tower is just there. So it's like I just do some pull-ups and some dips just to kill the time as I'm going to go do something else.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, you have
look at poor Porzingis looking like the Anthony Davis we thought we were going to see yesterday.
Ooh. Yeah, so far. I know after all that talk about his knee injury, he's balling out there. The Clippers are down big to start the game 10-2.
I mean, the biggest impediment to working out, though, is literally that drive to the gym. Is literally like you're sitting around. I should go to the gym.
Yeah.
Unless you have that as part of like your routine. Yeah. Like it's like you have to get up off the couch. Yeah. You just have to do it. And so like I used to always just go, oh, you know, I'm just going to do 10 minutes right now. And then I'll get off and I'll do another. And that's perfect for listening to podcasts. Like even if you're just walk right in the other room. You have no excuse. Just go. Just go do it.
Just go.
I'd be curious to see if anyone else has taken up the home gym because, you know, it is an interesting situation. Now, it's a financial investment initially, but it should pay off if you do it right at 877-710-ESPN. Obviously, people are reacting to the Lakers' loss in game one, and we will continue to do that. But the vultures are circling,
okay?
Laura, Charles Barkley was having a ball last night, okay, on TNT. He said the Lakers were going to lose initially. Then he was messing around. He started saying we were going to get swept. So he went out on the set with a broom and he was sweeping stuff and whatever. And here is the audio from Charles Barkley about the Lakers and Blazers. Go ahead, play it, Laura.
I'm still going with the Portland Trail Blazers to win the series. Now LeBron. He's going to have to dominate the series because he's the only advantage they got. You know, I've been talking about Anthony Davis all year. He was going to be the key. But that's only if they play the Clippers because they can match up with LeBron on the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George. They cannot match up with AD. So if they play the Clippers, AD's going to be the most important person. But with this Portland, the only way the Lakers are going to beat Portland if it's LeBron goes crazy, because they're going to really miss Trevor Ariza. But that being said, I'm still going with the Portland Trail Blazers.
He is steadfast, and he is not changing his mind. Now, look, Barkley is old school. He loves big men, right? Like, he loves the fact that they've got kind of this balance. He likes kind of – he thinks that the game should be more like it used to be, inside out, right? And he feels like, even though it's evolved, that he likes that Portland has that dynamic to him. But good God, he is not going to shut up if this happens. Now, I don't expect it to happen, but I think that there are some levels of concern, and we'll open it up to the audience in a second at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. So we've been talking about it. We've basically done it all today. We've talked about how AD needs to put his big boy pants on. He needs to start playing center. The Lakers need to play smaller. Get those bigs out of the lane and clog it up. Those guys need to hit shots. LeBron needs to be more aggressive. They need to get someone in there to help him with the ball handling. All that stuff has been discussed ad nauseum with us here. But before I get to the calls, who is slurping on the air?
Seriously, who is that?
I don't know.
Greg?
It's not me.
I got a text asking if I'm slurping. I'm like going, no.
My microphone's not on.
Slurping?
How could it possibly be me?
I did.
If your microphone wasn't
slurping?
On, how do we hear your voice?
No.
If your microphone's not on, how do we hear your voice?
By who's on headphones? Is somebody on headphones?
Oh, it's Momo.
It might be rubbing. Like the
it could be rubbing.
I'm not doing anything.
It's the microphone just rubbing against your shirt because you're using the iPhone.
Yeah, but I don't think that's it.
Oh, look at you. You called yourself out, girl.
I'm not slurping. I mean, I always wear these headphones when I do shows.
That's
funny. I don't think that's it.
You could always hear that. So I would always tell Greg, I was like, can you guys hear that? And you guys would always say no. So now he hears it over here.
Actually, Momo was the one that heard it. Yeah. It's funny.
I heard it. I was like, it is slurping. Somebody is really going to town on some slurping.
Yeah. I thought there was like a smoothie action or something. You know what I mean?
That was like Rolex over there.
I would like an apology because I got a text message accusing me.
I got the text message
emojis.
Too. So there you go.
Me
I
too.
Asked everybody. I asked everybody.
Yeah.
So, but
you really
I do
think
apologize
it's my,
for
but I've hosted so many shows with these headphones and no one's ever, I've never heard the slurping before.
Yeah. Well, I thought somebody was just drinking some Robex or something. You know what I mean? Like somebody was just getting in that protein shake or something.
It's like, we're going to break.
Bit right at the bottom.
Dog, it's 6:30. I ain't doing protein shakes at 6:30.
Okay, I'm just, you know, you never know. I don't know what your lifestyle is. Let's go to the phones. Phil is in Inglewood. Phil, how are you?
Doing good, guys. Doing good. I got 3 points to make real quick.
Yes, sir.
The first point I wanted to make is Anthony Davis is not able to play post-up basketball because the way that LeBron needs everybody to play is out on the perimeter so that he can penetrate and kick it out to whoever's open. Second point, you all need to stop antagonizing Damian Lillard because he is from the school of Kobe and he is taking his motivation and killing us. Third point, that dude from Compton who said that LeBron is another Kobe made me turn my radio off. Please screen your calls better. I'm done.
Oh, wow, Phil.
Wow, wow.
Hey, I like man. It.
Boy, how dare the third leading scorer in NBA history be considered a great scorer? How dare he? It's so funny. It's so funny.
People get emotional about these conversations. It's what make. Listen, we're in business because of it. Let's be real. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
No, listen. I'll be the first one to roll up to a barbershop and talk about it as well.
Yeah. What happened, Laura? You mad at Phil?
I was like, Phil, he said I need to screen the calls, but I'm like, you ain't getting in.
Oh, that's no. I like Phil. Phil calls all the time. Phil. Phil, you're going to have to apologize to Laura. She is not happy with you. Let's go to Marvin in Hollywood. Marvin, how are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say congrats on the new show. LZ, I'm already missing you in the morning. So I just want to start off with these egregious foul calls on Dwight Howard. That's totally unacceptable. He got 3 foul calls in the first quarter, I believe. Yeah. You know, that removes him from the game. And, of course, he's an impact player. So we need him to be in the game as much as possible. And then in the fourth quarter, I just want to say the Lakers need to keep shooting. You know, I know we missed those 2 free throws, or then we missed those 4 free throws, but we had a big offensive foul overturned. Originally, LeBron got hit with that charge, but then it got turned into a charge. So we got the ball back. And then, you know, what do the Blazers do? Melo, who's cold all night, he comes over and hits this huge 3, right? CJ McCollum, next play, comes down, ISOs. He also hits a 3. And, of course, Damian with the 2 half-court shots. Meanwhile, on the other end, in crunch time, you got Anthony Davis, who ended up totally wide open near the end of the game. And he looked lost. He wanted a pass. He didn't want the ball. LeBron ended up in a similar position, couldn't hoist a shot. Lakers ended up losing. I think we're still going to win it. I'm not worried. I think we need to respond. And then I just want to say to Paul Pierce, hey, listen, for 9 years, if you wanted to be the best basketball player, or excuse me, the best basketball team in the world, you had to play LeBron for that. LeBron set the standard for 9 years. 9 years. No one can say that except for Magic Johnson. For 9 years, if you wanted to be the champ, guess who you were playing for that?
Yeah.
All right, guys, thanks for your time.
That's true. You're right. You're right. He did. He definitely set that standard. It was 8, actually, straight finals for him, but he did. And by the way, he also, and I love Paul. Paul's my guy. I said, you know, I run into him occasionally, but I've said this to him, you know, on the show, on the Jump, and I've said it to him on Twitter. You know, he likes to talk about, and all those Celtics guys, they talk about that 2010 team like they were some sort of dynasty. But, you know, because he, not that long ago, he talked about LeBron's time in Miami being a disappointment. I'm like, well, then what the hell was the Celtics? You know what I mean? Like, they were there 5 years and won one title, you know? So, look, LeBron, once he got better teammates, like Paul did, LeBron elevated to a different level, much like Paul did. But LeBron's level was higher, right? Is that unfair to say?
No, it's completely, I think Paul would even admit that, right?
Yeah.
No, apparently he won't. So I don't listen. I don't get involved with their personal beef, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah,
I've been around. We've all been around basketball in general, the NBA specifically, for a really long time. We know what LeBron is.
Yeah,
we know what that is. And any sort of attempt to detract from what that is, there's other motivating factors. Whether you're an old school guy who's mad that LeBron had the decision, and he did what you wanted your GM to do, which is get you better teammates, so you're mad about that. Mm. Or if you're a current player and you can't give him that love yet because you're still trying to cut his throat out and his heart out, I understand that too. You know, growing up in Detroit, we gave MJ respect, but we didn't give him love. Not super love, not crazy love.
Oh, Michael Jordan was hated. You're right. He was hated because he was taking the throne from Magic and Larry.
Yes, and we didn't mind him taking it from Larry because we hated Larry in Detroit too. But Magic's from Michigan, so that was personal. But at the end of the day, it's like when you reflect back, you look and go, yeah, that dude was pretty much unstoppable. And hopefully, when, you know, when LeBron retires in 7 or 8 years, whenever he decides to say goodbye, people will finally, including Paul Pierce, will be able to say, okay, I was tripping. LeBron was that dude.
You know what's interesting, though, in this series, especially this year, Dame Lillard is the opponent that you can't hate. Like, you, the way he plays, the swagger, like, even just, like, what song came on last night and he just started dancing right in the middle of it?
Oh, the song from Oakland. Yeah. Oh, man.
Was it Ride the Train or something like that?
It's Blow the Whistle. It's Blow the Whistle by Too Short.
Yeah. So that song comes on. He just starts dancing right in the middle of the game. Like, every one of his dagger threes. Like, people, like, I don't care if he's beating your team or another team. Like, it's kind of hard to hate Dame.
It is.
I don't know who hates Dame other than maybe LaMarcus Aldridge, because he made the entire city forget he existed.
Yeah.
That's the only person that would hate Dame.
And by the way, they didn't hate each other either. Just LaMarcus was mad at the organization. It wasn't Dame. Yeah.
Right. Right. But I mean, Dame just said, okay, well, we're just going to act like he didn't happen. And we act like he didn't happen. There are moments which I totally forget that he was supposed to be the number one and that Dame was supposed to be Robin. Now we realize that, you know, maybe LaMarcus shouldn't even be in the Justice League, but that's another conversation for Pop.
Yeah. Let's go to Ray in L.A. Ray, what's up? Hello, Ray.
Oh, hello. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Two quick points. Well, first of all, your screener is absolutely fantastic. I just want to make that clear.
That's my girl, Laura.
Reference.
Yeah.
Two points. One, Anthony Davis, I think he was fine. We just need a little more points coming out of him. But the point Ramona made earlier, I agree that I think in some way Anthony Davis still doesn't see himself as a center. It's some maybe subconscious thing. He has an aversion to just, you know, planting a foot in that paint before he gets the ball. So he tends to just be too far out. And I just think he still doesn't fully accept the role of playing as a center. Specifically to the issue I saw last night was in LeBron's stat line, 17 assists on a team that shoots that poorly represents a lot of assists to a high rate of him passing to other guys who are not converting. So that many assists means he's not taking a lot of shots. On a team that shoots average or well, 17 assists is fantastic. But a team that's shooting as poorly as they're shooting, 17 assists means that's a ton that he's passing to other guys, and your best player is not taking shots at a high rate. And I think a 32-8 stat line from LeBron moves the needle a lot more for the Lakers than a 23-17 in the state that they're in now, where they're shooting so poorly. So I know that may be a bit redundant. I mean, it's the same thing as LeBron being more aggressive. But specifically, wouldn't you think it better that they kind of bring the assists down? And, you know, this is Rajon Rondo, and yeah, you throw it to other guys that'll get their shot going because he's not a scoring threat. But LeBron, I think he has to cut down on assists.
No, I don't think he needs to cut down, Ray. And thank you for the call because we're up against it. I don't think he needs to cut down, guys. Like, I'd like to get your quick thoughts here on this. I just think that he's reading the room. He's seeing a bunch of bigs in the middle, and he's like, if I go in there, maybe I'll draw contact. Maybe I won't. I'm not as athletic as I once was, you know, even just a couple of years ago. And even when he was at his peak athleticism, sometimes he'd get himself in some trouble with offensive fouls, trying to bowl his way into the paint. And I just think he's learned from those experiences. Fair to say, LZ?
I would say that you don't get to be top 10 in all time in assists unless you have a pass-first mentality regardless. And so I get what the caller is saying, but LeBron is Magic Johnson, who just happens to be able to score whenever he wants to as well. But he's really Magic, and no one would ever tell Magic to pass the ball less because the Lakers lost. Like, you wouldn't do that, right? We need to stop thinking he's Kobe, stop thinking he's MJ, and realize he is singular. There is no one like LeBron James. And if we were to try to compare him to anything, it would probably be more along the lines of Jason Kidd and Magic Johnson, which is a pass first, get my teammates involved mentality. And he's been like that since junior high.
Yeah. Momo, you have anything to add there? You think, or you think LZ's on point there?
No, I think he's right. I mean, to me, like, LeBron is, he's human. That's the worst thing you can say about him. right? Those other guys, they are stone cold and they don't show it. They even Magic, to that, you know, you might think he's human because he smiles and had a great personality, but when they were on the court, like, you didn't see that humanity. You didn't see those spots. And that's, for LeBron, you know, that's always been his issue. Always. And I think that's the best part about him, but also what we're going to hold against him.
Yeah, for sure. I'd agree wholeheartedly. All right, coming up next, what the hell's up with AD? Dave McMiniman on SportsCenter yesterday had some thoughts on everything that's going on with AD, because there's a lot of questions surrounding him. Plus, the Rams were on Hard Knocks yesterday. I got four takeaways from Hard Knocks and how much I'm curious to see how you guys are enjoying Hard Knocks and the double LA Hard Knocks. We'll get into some of that on the other side. Sedano with you here, along with LZ Granderson. Sedano and LZ each and every weekday. Yeah, yeah. Beginning at 4 o'clock. Mama Momo hanging out on a Wednesday. That's going to be on the regular. We thank her, of course, for always hanging out with us. Yes, sir.
Did you know there was an East Coast anthem or East Oakland anthem before last night?
No. I did not know that until Damian Lillard told us. Yeah.
I was like, well, what's the West Coast anthem?
Yeah.
What's the Oakland anthem?
Shout out to Jared Greenberg, who did that interview yesterday in the post game, who got that out of Damian Lillard.
Yeah, that was a great question. Yeah. What's the LA anthem? I think we have a few. I Love LA is one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. California Love.
What else? California Love. That's good.
Yeah.
And then, is it something about the Eagles or something for, like, people who
Hotel are
like,
California
for older white people?
I didn't say that, George. I said people who didn't listen to hip hop records.
It's fine. Mm-hmm. Older white people, it's okay to say that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's fine. You know? Right? Laura, what is it for young Mexican people and older Mexican people? What are the anthems?
Ramon Ayala. Anything Ramon Ayala or Vicente Fernandez.
Right.
Or Banda El Recodo. Like, that's your to go to. Even, I don't care how old, how young, that's where you go.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. You see, everybody's got them. It's all good.
All right. You know? Yeah, no problem. I mean, for the gays, we still like, you know, a really good I'm Coming Out. It's always a good hit.
Anything by Cher, right?
Almost anything by Cher. Almost.
Almost, really?
Almost. She's like Madonna. You can't just hand her a title and just assume everything's going to be all right.
That's true.
Yeah, it's just. Gotta be careful with that one.
Wow. Hey, just real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to shout out Variety Magazine, LZ, because they have a story today, 18 black-owned restaurants to support in Los Angeles.
Awesome.
And I want to give the names real quick. I'm going to try to squeeze as many of them as I can in here. I don't know if I can get all 18 very quickly. But one is Alta Adams, Southern Comfort Food, Billionaire Burger Boys. Boy, man, that picture they got is good. It's a chicken sandwich. We were talking about chicken sandwiches yesterday.
You're hungry, George. I know you are.
I'm starving at this time. Yes. Bloom and Plume Coffee, Bloodsoe's Bar and Q, Comfort LA, Dullin's Soul Food Kitchen, Hilltop Coffee and Kitchen, Honey's Kettle, Lalabella, Ethiopian Restaurant, Mel's Fish Shack, Post and Beam. Obviously, Roscoe's is in here. Cheese, which I'm familiar with. Sky's Gourmet Tacos as well, which I'm familiar with. Sweet Blessings, The Jerk Spot, a little jerk chicken for you there. A little Jamaican flavor in Culver City, which I'm familiar with. The Serving Spoon, Wingopolis. Oh, man, that sounds delicious. I need to go to Wingopolis. Where's Wingopolis? I got to find this. All right, we'll figure it out later. But anyway, shout out to Variety and shout out to those businesses. So we wanted to make sure to get that story out real quick.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Two of my favorites not on that list. I mean, I've been to a good chunk of those because I like to eat. But I like Wood Spoon, that's downtown.
Yeah.
As well as Harold and Bells, which is where Key.
Oh, Harold and Bells, you and Key. Yeah.
And Key, absolutely. Yeah. And I always make sure I get hooked up with the chicken nuggets over there. Not chicken nuggets, the catfish nuggets.
Yeah. Before we go to Anthony Davis and the Dave McMiniman sound, here are some quick takeaways. Have you guys been watching Hard Knocks? Because I've been watching a little bit of it.
I didn't catch it last night, but I caught the first episode.
What do you just make overall, Momo, of what you've seen in the Hard Knocks? I feel like there's like a cool...
Well, Sean McVay is like the coolest, right?
Yes.
Like Sean McVay is really fun. And like he's going to be the star of this year's Hard Knocks.
No doubt.
there's so much COVID stuff. There's so much social distancing and mask wearing and how different it is and so much Zoom and yada, yada, yada. There's a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm wondering who I'm going to care about. Like, who, because there's not going to be any preseason games. So you can't, like, you know, who's going to be, like, last year they had, who's the kid? Hunter Renfrow. And then there was the tight end.
Hunter Renfrow was Raiders, right?
Raiders,
last year.
And then Waller, right? Who was the
tight
end?
Yeah, Darren Waller, the tight end. Yeah.
Like, there's a couple guys, like, you really root for. So I'm not, I haven't figured out who those are going to be yet.
Yeah. LZ, any thoughts on just the way that it's, I mean, look, the two teams is different. Obviously, all the COVID stuff and the protocols is fascinating, too, beyond just the football stuff.
Yeah, I kind of treat Hard Knocks the way that I treated Heroes. You guys remember that NBC show, Heroes?
Yes, yeah. I remember it.
Yeah, so, you know, the first couple of seasons, you're like, oh, my God, I can't get enough.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, my God, I've had enough.
I felt exactly the same way. Yeah, it was like, I was like, oh, I can't, I'm done with this show. It jumped
I'm done with this show. So I'm pretty done with Hard Knocks. It's been a while since I've watched. Plus, I'm offended that they included the Rams in this because Hard Knocks typically is, you know, the show for bad teams.
Yeah.
And my LA Rams is not a bad team.
No, but they did want to do the double team, and it just is easier to do it in LA, I feel like. So they that's really all the reason that they did. But you're right. Generally, it is a bad team. Yeah.
Go to New York. All right. Yeah. I got two bad teams. You can get all the sob stories you want in New York.
I think
we're
the
fine out in LA.
I think yeah, that's true. And I think maybe the planning part of it, right? Like New York was so bad, you know, with COVID that I think that they were probably worried, right? Like what kind of access they would get, like what would happen.
We still even have this now where. Let's say you get a sit-down interview with somebody. It's not that easy to find a camera crew to go shoot.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely
like right
not.
Now in the era, like this era, it's. I mean, I think we're opened it up a little bit, but I remember early on, I did a SportsCenter piece with Allison Felix, and she's like our greatest track and field athlete of our generation, right? She lives out there in Santa Clarita, and I was like, you guys, she'll let us film her. She'll let us do anything. Like we can do the interview. She's down. Like. Tokyo got postponed. Like she's literally like training on the street outside her house because they shut the tracks down and everything. And they were like, "Yeah, we're not having anybody work remote right now. We're not having anybody doing this. Like they just it's just so literally. I'm out there on my iPhone. I went out there with a mask on and stood away from her, and I was taking pictures on my iPhone. And we actually ran that stuff on SportsCenter.
That's good. I mean, what this has done is force us to get really creative. You know, I had a similar situation to you, Momo. I drove out to Coach Anthony Land's house, walked through the building with the mask.
He's
in Orange County. Did the mask situation. And then for the conversation, like we're on opposite ends, you know, of like the spectrum.
Yeah.
My phone is recording, you know, so it's kind of close to him. And then I had like another recorder for backup that was kind of close to him, and I was kind of far, and I had to make sure I projected. But you figure things out, you know. Everybody's got.
Did he tell you he had the Rona before you did that interview?
He didn't have the Rona when I interviewed him.
Okay,
he did not. I interviewed him shortly after he had went out and participated in the protests that were happening in Huntington Beach at the time.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not quite sure when he contracted it in relationship to when. I was at his house, but it certainly wasn't. It wasn't at that point.
Real quick, not to. I want to make sure we pay off our tees here. I talked about Anthony Davis, not to get us off too far off the subject, and I do want to take a couple quick calls because this is Momo's last segment. Because we're going to be talking to our boy Scott Kaplan, who starts his first show tonight. LZ and I will talk to him in a few minutes. but Dave McMiniman, a lot of questions about Anthony Davis, like what's up with AD, right? So Dave McMiniman was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on this very station, and here's what Dave McMiniman said about what's up with AD.
He wasn't doing all that much on defense, getting beat in transition on several occasions when he, you know, was touting himself as a defensive player of the year. And then again, offensively, it wasn't like he wasn't like demanding the ball. I mean, 24 shots is a good amount. Plus, when you add up all the free throw attempts he took, there was more shot attempts there too. But you just got to finish. He said after the game that, you know, he thought himself and other players were looking for the whistle too much, need to play through contact more. I guess, but you should probably understand that that's what playoff basketball is going to be about.
Ooh. That's harsh.
Dave,
I like it.
Just went into the shade room right there.
Is that not what I just said at the during crosstalk, George? That you only played 14 games. So if you only played 14 games, you're 27 years old.
Yeah.
You don't know that's what the playoffs are all about because you've barely been there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just real talk. Now, that doesn't mean that I wouldn't want him to resign. That doesn't mean he's not a top five player, but it means there's work to do and that you need to put some respect on LeBron James's name because he's been doing this for a very long time at a very high level.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about it. Let me sneak in Gelato Drew real quick. What's up, Gelato Drew?
What's up, my brother? Hey, Momo. George, I got a bone to pick with you, George.
What's that?
You undersold Howland Ray's to LZ, my brother. LZ, Howland
yes, sir.
Is fire. You get the the medium chicken sandwich with the wings, and I can equate it to it's almost as good as Mysterio granting your deepest desires.
Well, listen,
maybe
I undersold it because I was but I talked about how great it was.
They're on Postmates now.
Okay. But well, if someone else is going to wait 90 minutes for it, then I'm good, okay? I'm good with that.
But wait, hold up. You're telling me they give you a chicken sandwich and wings?
They have wings too, LZ. So you get the wing, get the medium. The hot is it burns, but it's good. The mild's okay. The medium one, I'm telling you, it's fire. You will not be disappointed, brother.
Listen, I love it, Gelato Drew. If it's on Postmates, I'm in now. Like, I'm happy to go support Howland Ray's, which I think is the best chicken sandwich in L.A. But thank you for the call. Stay safe. Laura, before we go to break, what did you want to say about AD?
Like I told you guys, he just needs to get slapped. He needs a good Latin woman to just slap him around and get him to wake up. That's it. What do you mean?
You know what? Listen, girl, more than AD could use a little good slapping around, but I don't want to get too political.
There we go. Momo, thank you for hanging out today.
It's time for me to go.
Yeah.
On that note.
Momo, we love you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
All right, see ya. All right, that is Mama Momo hanging out with us, as she will every Wednesday here on Sedano and LZ. Coming up next, Crosstalk with our buddy Scott Kaplan. We got another segment to go here with us here on 710 ESPN, back in 90 seconds. All right, Scott Kaplan. Scott Kaplan's show starts. It's time for Crosstalk. How are you, sir?
How's everybody doing, man? You guys good?
Yeah, brother. How are you?
Heck yeah. Very good. Welcome to the family, baby.
Well,
welcome to the fold.
LZ, I'm a huge fan. I have been for a long time. A lot of your work, man, through I follow your column. I saw you on CNN, which, you know, and many appearances, ESPN. I've been listening to you on radio forever. Thank you for saying that, LZ. And I'm sure George has told you how far we go back.
Actually, George has told me nothing, but I
have told you nothing. There you go. Well, I will tell you this. How about this?
Presumptuous.
Yes. Scott Kaplan was doing a national show in 1999, okay, for Sportsline, which is now eventually became CBSSports.com many years later. And I was his intern. I was going to run getting him Taco Bell in 1999.
Was he hard shell or soft shell? That's what
no, he was a soft shell guy, and God, did he have the farts, man. Woo!
Well done, Scott. Well done.
Yeah, but
apparently you're the Ellen DeGeneres of radio. Glad to hear it. Well done.
Hey, the thing is, LZ, I mean, I really was only like a couple of years ahead of George. Like, I was just fresh out of school, and this was kind of my first real job. And George was – George, there's not much difference in our age, is there?
I'm 42.
Oh, okay, maybe there is. Sorry. All right, I'm 50 for crying out loud, okay? I'm only 50, but I think I'm 25.
There you go.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with 50. That is the goal. Unless you're, 52, in which case that doesn't make any sense.
So I don't even know what to do with myself on a night like this because, LZ, I know you were doing morning radio. And all of a sudden, when you don't wake up at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning – panicking about what you're planning on doing with that show at 6 a.m. Life must be different. For me, I've never been on the radio at 7 o'clock at night. So I've got the Mavericks and the Clippers game on. I've got the Dodgers game, the Angels game, the Padres game, and also I didn't even know tonight was the Democratic National Convention. I'm like paying attention to Laker playoff games, not politics. So a lot on tonight.
Yeah, the weirdest thing for me especially now, is watching the games and not minding if they go into overtime or extra innings because I don't have to get up so early the next day. I can go, you know what? Make it triple overtime. Go for it, guys.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to stay up all night. There's no reason for me to have to get up early. So that's the biggest difference sports-wise is just that, you know, I didn't root for the Dodgers to lose, but certainly once it got to the 11th inning and a certain point at night, if we didn't get it done by that final at bat, I really wasn't looking forward to the 12th inning. I'll just put it that way. I needed to get to sleep.
I know that emotion very well. I did mornings forever, and it's nice to actually be able to go out at night on occasion. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm having dinner and maybe even a cocktail, and I don't have to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Your life's going to be better, man.
We're going to see. I want to hear an embarrassing story. What did Sedano get wrong and that you yelled at him or you farted in the room with him about?
Oh, man. Wow.
That was so long ago. That's 21 years ago, man. That's a long time.
I know. It's really hard to believe. I'm trying to think of, George, where we were.
I remember this about – you were getting married at that time. Like, I remember you were still single.
I'm just seriously trying to figure out where we were because after I'd gotten married, this is June of 99, I came back from a honeymoon and went right to the All-Star game in Boston. That was the game where McGuire and Tony Gwynn were standing at the pitcher's mound. And do you guys remember this game? And it was like the year, what year was the big home run derby? Was that 98 or 99? Probably 99, right?
Yeah.
It might have been 99. I'm asking you guys, what do we know? We're not supposed to know. Do we know this? We don't know.
Got me. I'm a child.
So, that was, George, right there, I was getting married and I was leaving. I was going right to the All-Star game.
So are you still married to the same person?
No, actually, I'm not. No. No.
But it just goes to show how young you were. Not married, single guy. You have beautiful daughters now. Like, you know, didn't one of them go away to college just recently?
I know. I got four kids. It's crazy. Four kids. I know. That's right. Wow. And by the way, you say that stuff flies by, 20 years just flies by. But when you look at children, and I know, LZ, I heard you talking earlier about, did you say you have one that's 20-something?
He's 23.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at your kids, you're like, oh, my God, it flew by so fast. And all you have to do is look at your kid and go, 23. How'd that happen?
Yes, it is crazy, especially now because I'm smoking pot in front of him and I feel dirty.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. Is he smoking pot back with you?
He's not. Mm. He actually doesn't drink. We had one glass of wine together in Paris a couple years ago when he was interning in Germany. And we took a quick trip to Paris to watch the Tour de France the last day of that. We had a glass of wine at the Eiffel Tower. That is the only time he's actually had any substance around me. Hmm. And I stress around me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I instilled a certain fear not to do that in my presence or what. But I've gradually have just said, you know what? I'm an adult. You're an adult. This is legal. This isn't anything weird or funky. Pop's just going to smoke a little pot. Don't talk to me for the next 6 hours.
This is my time. This is my time to chill.
This is right. Poppy's gathering his thoughts right now. Just let me be.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Are you a cycling fan that you went to the last day of the tour?
I'm a sports fan. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those rare occasions in which everything timing wise just worked out. He was done with work. I knew Sunday was coming up or whatever. And I was just like, I'm in Europe. It's a Tour de France going on. The flight's really cheap and close. Why the hell not? And it was so we go there, and the cyclists ride by, and then that was it. And we're like, oh, hell. What the hell is this? This isn't a tour. This is a drive-by to France. What are you talking about tour? This is nothing.
Right. But being a spectator is the worst in that sport.
Oh, my gosh. It was terrible. Are you a cycle guy?
I've been a wannabe cyclist. I'm like the guy that you're driving down the road and me and all my friends are in our tights and our spandex and we're like not in the bike lane, but we're taking up enough of the road that we're kind of pushing you to slow down and you hate us. Like you absolutely hate us, right? That's me.
I don't know how you feel. I don't know how you feel, Sedano, but it's like in those moments I go, would I get caught? Like really, if I went really fast, would I get caught? And I go, don't do it, LZ. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because I was going to like roll down my window or say something like, get in your lane. Or, you know, you're fat, or stop wearing tights, or something like that. And I just decided to keep it to myself and not be a Karen, if you will.
You're not going to be a Karen?
Not going to be a Karen. No offense, man. Karen. But, you know, your name's taking a turn, girl. Your name's taking a turn over these last few months.
It sure has. Like, anybody who's named Karen now is like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've been Karen my whole life. It was fine.
I don't even know how we arrived at Karen. I didn't get any paperwork. I don't know anything about the meetings. I don't know if this happened behind my back or what. I just looked up, and all of a sudden, Karen was the name. So here we are.
I thought the new male version of Karen is now Darren.
Is that true?
I thought it was Ken.
Oh, really? It is Ken? Really?
That's what I thought. I heard John Ireland and Mason talking about this the other day.
That the male Karen is Ken?
Yeah.
Not Darren.
No.
It seems like it should be Darren,
was
right?
It Ken? Hold on, Laura. What was it? What did you think it was? Laura?
Sorry, I thought it was Kevin.
Kevin?
Kevin?
Yeah. I don't know. I'll just Google this. Let's see what Google says. What is a male Karen?
A male Karen.
What is a male version of Karen called? Could it be Ken is what the title says. Is Ken an appropriate term for the male version? This is like a whole story. Can I just get like an answer? Like, seriously. You know, like this is too much here. I just need an answer. Right?
So let me ask you guys a question. Are both of you gentlemen broadcasting from your respective homes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So when you get done doing this broadcast, what do you do? Like, you know, when you would be downtown LA, you'd get up, you'd walk out of the studio, you'd go to the parking garage, you'd get your car, you'd drive home, you'd turn on the radio, maybe you go for dinner, whatever. But you never leave your house, or so it seems. What do you guys do?
Well, I got a joint that I'm looking at right now that's going to be lit in about 5 minutes.
Oh,
George,
awesome.
What are you going to do?
That is awesome. That is so funny. I've got dinner ready with one of the my youngest, who is going to be 2 in a few weeks. He's going to bed soon. And then I've got to make sure that my 6-year-old is ready to go to bed soon, has her teeth brushed, she's bathed, all that stuff. And then I'm going to have dinner. And then I'm going to watch some basketball. That's pretty much my deal tonight. Maybe a glass of wine.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's so nice when they're kids and they brush their teeth. I have a 20-year-old son, and every day I have to just stand on top of him and go, brush your teeth. Chicks will never want to make out with you when your teeth look like that. Get in there.
That's funny. And
why? Like, why do I have to police a 20-year-old young man?
You don't. You let him suffer. You let him suffer. You let him go through life without getting kissed. And then one day he'll come to you and say, Papa, why no one wants to make out with me? And you say, look at your teeth. That's and then a click.
I love the interpretation, LZ. Papa, Papa, I'm just a 20-year-old young man speaking this way to you. Why do no girls want to kiss me?
and you say, because you got gunk in your mouth.
Yeah, I've been telling you for years.
Yeah, and then they'll fix it. Right now, you're just hearsay because they haven't experienced it. It's not real, so they don't know. So you got to let them feel some things. You know, like my kid, he didn't want to shave for forever and a day. I tried to teach him how to shave, and he wouldn't learn how to shave. He didn't want to learn. He was, like, rebelling. Then all of a sudden, he had these weird facial hairs growing out of nowhere, and people were talking about it. And he called me up, you know, one day from school, and was like, hey, so this shaving thing. And I go, yes. Would you like to know the secret of shaving? But, you know, sometimes you just got to let kids fall in order to understand the importance of getting up.
I know. I'm just so soft. You know, I'm like a helicopter parent. I'm like a helicopter mom.
Oh, my God. Porzingis just hit a 3 from the other side of the court.
I know, like from half court.
That was
Dallas is balling. Like, here's the thing. Dallas, I still think the Clippers could still end up winning this game just because, look, we've seen it, right? In the NBA,
the
three-point ball keeps you in these games, and you could be down 15, and all of a sudden you're right back in the game in, like, 2 minutes. But Dallas has a historic offense. Like, their output this year offensively is historic. Literally, you have thrown Luka Doncic out there at times with just a bunch of dudes, and they're still going like for 125 or 130 a game. It's crazy.
That's because he's Steve Nash.
Better than Steve Nash.
Better than Steve Nash?
Yeah. Bigger, stronger. He's better. Yes.
I don't know if he's better.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything yet. Can you do something first?
I mean, What did Steve do? He won two MVPs. I think Luka will do that.
All right. Okay. Well, when he wins this, oh, man. Porzingis is a man out there. He just ran over Morris.
Yeah.
We must be on some kind of a delay that I'm just not with you right now.
Oh, am I spoiling it for you?
Well,
you
may I don't know yet. I don't
so
know.
I probably shouldn't tell you that Dallas just won the game then. What can I do?
Scott, what do you got going on tonight?
Well, tonight we are going to get started, George. I mean, this is the official debut of the brand new Scott Kaplan show, and I'm going to do what Keyshawn has been advertising. I'm going to hold it down. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold it down.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold it. I'm going to hold it down is what I'm going to try and do. And so Kevin Demoff is going to be here. I heard you talking about Hard Knocks. You know, he's the chief operating officer of the Rams. I want to talk about the show. I want to talk about the stadium, the game plan going forward with or without fans. So lots to talk to Kevin about. And then, you know, George, I'm going to jump right into it. I'm going to go right into my stream of consciousness as I was watching this Laker game last night as they melted down. So that's where I'm going to start. Lakers top of mind, watching the Clippers, got a bunch of games that are on around me, and that's where we're going tonight.
That sounds fun.
All right, brother. Well, you have a great show. It was great to talk to you. I will looking forward for us to talk to you much more. We are happy to have you on board, and enjoy your maiden voyage. You only get one. You know that.
That's right. That's exactly right.
All right, my man. Be good. Have a good show.
See you guys later.
All right, Scott Kaplan's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Thanks to Greg and Laura. Thanks to Mama Momo. LZ, you are the man. I will talk to you on Friday. We're off tomorrow because of the Lakers, so you enjoy that extra day off.
Oh, man, what am I going to do? Oh, I have some ideas.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Scott's up next in a couple of minutes. See you.